We're thankful for those of you who are visiting with us today. Our purpose is simply to worship God in spirit and in truth, and to draw near unto Him that we may pay honor and respect and glory to His most holy name. I'm going to be taking a text this morning from Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 16 that I would like to read. Luke 2, verse 4 through 16. Our attention at this time, attention of nearly all people in our society, is on Christmas. If you've missed it, I don't know how you could have missed it as the days draw near. Maybe you have simply stayed inside because of the cold weather. But as I went about this week, I see people and signs even reading joy, and people speaking about joy and happiness and wishing people happiness and so forth because of the occasion. And I guess you can say that this is my Christmas sermon this morning. Now, I do that out of one side of my mouth because not really celebrating Christmas at all. Because to everybody's attention is involved upon Christmas, so maybe it's the best that we think about some things in connection with it. But to celebrate something is to give honor. And this Christmas, of course, is not something that we read about in the Scriptures. No place has Christ given instructions for us to celebrate His birth. Not any mention of that. And though this sermon pertains to some things pertaining to His birth, it's not to celebrate His birth. He was not born at Christmas time. We don't know the exact time that He was born. Many have different ideas, and different times have been proposed throughout different times of the year. It's not because we should rejoice because of His coming. Certainly we should. But we should remember His death and His burial and His resurrection for us. That's what we have been told in the Scriptures to celebrate. And so we assemble around the Lord's table here each first day of the week that we might remember that He died for our sins, that He shed His blood. We drink the fruit of the vine that's what He told us to do, to remember the blood that was shed for us. We eat of the bread to recall His body that was broken for us. Thus we remember the great sacrifice that He made. That's the celebration that He has instructed us to keep. And to celebrate Christmas in a way honors commands and the traditions of men. Because that's what it is. It's a tradition that men have originated. It's not necessarily a bad tradition. In fact, it's a good tradition. But it is not given in the Scriptures as a religious holiday. Not given as something that we are to celebrate Christ and His birth. And so we pay, when observing Christmas, would be to pay honor and respect to men and their traditions. I'm afraid that sometimes people keep Christmas and then fail to keep the Lord's Supper. You know, if there's one time of the year, go to church many times, people, it's Christmas or Easter. And I'm thankful that they go to church then. But you know, just to go then, the celebration of His birth, and to miss the celebration that He's told us to keep upon the first day of the week, the Lord's Supper, would be to place the emphasis in the wrong place. Anyway, as a basis for our text this morning, as I was thinking about the sermon this morning, saw all the people celebrating joy, I remembered some words found in this passage here in Luke chapter 2, and I thought it would be good for us to think about them this morning. Let's read together, beginning in verse number 4, where the we read about the birth of Jesus. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. We should rejoice not only this day but every day because of the coming of Jesus Christ. And the announcement that was made here was an announcement of great joy. He says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Certainly it is a thing for joy when we think about the coming of Jesus Christ. Christmas, of course, is supposed to be a season of great joy. And, of course, yet it's not for a lot of people. Some people, and I have found it even myself, very stressful at times. I find it very trying of my patience if I'm going to do some shopping or some other things that must be done, it seems, in keeping of the traditional holidays. It takes a great deal of patience to stand in line and in order to check out at some of the checkout counters and so forth. I'm afraid if the buying of Christmas gifts and presents depended upon me to do all of it, that we'd buy a whole lot fewer Christmas presents. But some people find it very stressful, and yet it's to be a time of joy. It causes many people to feel inferior and inadequate because they financially and physically cannot do what others do. Many find it stressful because they overspend and find themselves left in debt, that they work until the next season to pay off the debt and then start all over again. There is reason for great joy. But I don't necessarily see that in connection with Christmas. A lot of people find joy in the celebration itself and gift giving and happiness. And there should be joy in those things, but not just at this season of the year. Christmas joy should be for all seasons. Joy is meant to be in the life of the Christian the year round. In Philippians 4 and verse number 4, Paul wrote from a Roman prison to the Philippians and said, "Rejoice in the Lord." And again, he emphasizes it. He says, I say, rejoice. In the third chapter, the same book, and the third chapter, verse number 1, he tells them, "Rejoice in the Lord." He says, write the same thing to me. It's not difficult. It's just needful for you. And he recognized we had a need to be told to rejoice. And so he emphasized it. joy should be found in the life of Christians at all times. And remember, Paul was writing this from a Roman prison, put there by his enemies, by the enemies of the truth, falsely suffering for Christ's sake in prison. And he still writes, rejoice in the Lord. You know, at Christmas time, we sing some very fine songs. But we should be singing those songs all year long as Christians. Joy to the world. Shouldn't just be sung at Christmas time. It brings the joy that should be there in our lives all the time, every day of the year. Silent night, holy night. Words of those songs are very good words. But they should not be reserved just for a special occasion where men have chosen to celebrate his birth. But it's something we should remember as a reason for joy the year round. The Christian has great reason for great joy. But this joy that we read about here in Luke chapter 2 is a joy that the world has not learned. It does not come from the world. This joy here is from God. He brought good tidings of great joy announced by the angel of God. This is a joy that is heaven sent. This is a joy that originates with God that he's talking about here, that should be in the lives of each and every Christian. It's a joy produced by what God has done for us in sending Jesus Christ into the world. It's a joy that's not found in things, not found in presents or special foods or feast days, or if not found in holidays or in fun or in fantasy of St. Nicholas and flying reindeer. The joy that should be in the life of the Christian is not founded upon such physical things. It's not produced by possession of things or houses or cars or property. I can't help thinking of people, you know, someone builds a new house. I'm thinking about Bob Huey over here and his family just recently moved into a beautiful new home. That's a great, wonderful joy to be able to do that. I did that once upon a time, built this new house, and we watched it for months and months going up, you know, and rejoiced about being able to move in. And then we got to work the yard and fix it in and put it in. And it was such a joy that we had a house we could call our own and be able to live in that house. To have such things brings great joy. But there is a joy that transcends these things. And that's the joy that he's talking about here that was announced from on high by the angel of the Lord. A joy not produced by possession of houses or cars or property, not produced by earthly wealth. Joy that's not found either in position or in social status. Sometimes we find joy in climbing the corporate ladder or in climbing, being a social climber. And people find great joy in having that respect and being looked up to by people of the community. Makes them feel that they're important and gives them feeling of significance and self-worth. But there's a joy that transcends that joy that comes from heaven itself, sent from the very throne of God. Real joy then is not based on one's status or his relationship to men, but is based upon relationship with God. The Apostle Paul spoke about this in the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Beginning in verse number 4, you know, he was a man that enjoyed a very high position among his contemporaries. Probably a man of some means. He exceeded, in most cases, those of his fellows. And he spoke about how that He could have confidence in fleshly things and the physical things in this verse. Philippians 3 verse 4, he says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, that was the strictest of sects. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. They thought the church, the Christians, were the heretics, and they persecuted them. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, he says, I was blameless. Excuse me. But, he says, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yea, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish that I might gain Christ. Paul gave all those things up. He gave that position and that respect up to be a Christian. He says, I count them but rubbish that I might gain Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead. His joy was in Jesus Christ. And so he wrote, rejoice in the Lord. Real joy then is not based upon things. It's not based upon status or one's relationship to men, but relationship to God. And it is a joy that comes from God. In Galatians 5 and verse 22, we read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness. These are the things that come from God, in which we should find joy. And it's not a joy that's due to any physical circumstances then. Jesus said in John 16 to verse 13, In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In the world, you'll have tribulation. That's what we find, isn't it? There's death, there's suffering, there's sickness, there's pain, there's frustration. There's blocks of every road that you try to, on every road you try to travel. In the world you'll have tribulation, but he says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And we can still have joy in Jesus Christ, the one who's overcome. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12, he said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward which is in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Persecution is going to come to the Christian in one form or another. Maybe it's mental persecution. People may belittle. They may make fun. They may mock. But persecution is going to come to the Christian. But he says, don't worry about it. I have joy. I've overcome the world. In Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13, the Apostle Paul talks about his physical conditions and how that they didn't keep him from having contentment and joy. He's writing to the Philippians who have sent money to them, and he says, I rejoice that you've sent something to me now. And he says, not that you didn't want to before, you just lacked opportunity. In verse 11, he says, not that I speak in regards to need. He says, I wasn't desperate. For I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. That's to be without, be in poverty. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound, to have a plenty, in other words. Everywhere in all things, I've learned both, and in all things, to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The source of his joy, the source of his strength, the source of his contentment is Jesus Christ, not things. And so this joy is a joy based upon something much more valuable, much more important, much more worthwhile, much more enduring than the joy found in this world and physical things. But what's the source of this joy? Well, he says, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. And then he announces the birth of the Savior. Great joy, says, which shall be to all people, says, you're going to find this day the Savior has been born. His name was called Jesus, which means Savior. Jesus is Greek, means Savior. Mary was told, that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1 and verse 24. The seed planted in the womb of Mary didn't come from some man. It came from the Holy Spirit. And so here was God being born into the flesh. John writes in John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that hath been made. He, the Word, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning, he says on down in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That which was in the beginning, that divinity, that divine that made all things, and that there was not anything here, nothing exists without Him having made it, came into this world through the womb of Mary, became flesh and blood like you and I. So the God entered in among us as Jesus Christ was born into the world. This was the great news. A Savior is born. He came to save us from our sins, our disobedience against God. He came to save us from eternal damnation. Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin are death. Sin destroys, it wrecks our lives, and it will cause us to be wrecked eternally. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can be forgiven of all that sin. A Savior has come. He's Jesus Christ. Romans 4 and verse 25 says that He was delivered for our offenses and He was raised for our justification. He delivers us from the wrath of God. Romans 5 and verse 1 says we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. There's real joy. You want to know joy? And know the joy of being right with God. Knowing that one's sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. The joy that should fill the life of a Christian is the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world, died upon that cross, gave Himself a ransom for me, for each and every one of us. That's the joy that should fill our lives each day. John 3, verse 16 and 17, God so loved the world. There's a reason for joy. God's love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His only begotten, only one born of a seed, if you want to think of it that way. Completely unique, the only one of a kind. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There's the reason for joy. Though I find around me pain and suffering, though I see death and hurt and people whose lives are taken as infants, and I see suffering of all kinds, tribulation in this world, yet you and I can overcome it Because a Savior has come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find joy in the love of God. We find joy in the mercy of God. The mercy that when we deserved death, He gave His Son as a substitute to die in our place, as a sacrifice, our sacrifice, to die in our place. So He died instead of you and I dying, that we might live, that we might be forgiven of our sins. His mercy. As some people like to point out, and we need to understand, He didn't give us what we deserved. We deserved death because of our rebellion and our sin against God, our lack of respect for Him and His Word. We deserved death. But that's not what He gave us. He gave us mercy. And He gave His Son to die for us that we might be forgiven. The anticipation of eternal life is now ours. To think about living eternally. To know that, yes, we'll have tribulation, but He's overcome death. Overcome the power of Satan who controls death. And as John writes in 1 John 5 and 13, John says, I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Can I jump up and down? Can I dance right here? Because to know that you have eternal life, that ought to be the source of great joy. And it transcends all the things of this world. We're told that this world and all things in it will pass away. The elements will melt with fervent heat. 2 Peter 3 verses 10, 11, 12. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, He says, in which all things in this earth and herein shall be burned up. All this is going to come to an end. But through Christ, there's still joy. The joy of eternal life with Him. And He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you might be also. To have the promise of the resurrection from the dead. To know that the Lord Himself, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a voice and with a shout. And the trumpet of God and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's reason for joy. And that's the joy that should be in the life of the Christian. It's a joy, He says, for all people, the rich, the poor, the sociably accepted and respected, the outcasts. It's a joy for them also because they can reign through Jesus Christ. The immoral, the dishonest, the self-righteous even. The publicans and the sinners Jesus associated with, and He was accused of being a friend of the publicans and the sinners. It's a joy that can be to all people. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what we might have done. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we can be forgiven and be right with God. And look forward to eternity with Him. Joy for all people, all races, white, black, yellow, red, all languages, all nations, all nationalities. Oh yes, there's reason for great joy. And to know that as I live each day by faith in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. Oh, that's reason for great joy. This joy transcends the Christmas season. It transcends all physical circumstances. It comes from the loving, glorious throne of God on high. And it comes to all who love Jesus Christ and who believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it gives them joy unspeakable. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 8. joy inexpressible. It's a joy that'll always be there no matter what happens. Do you feel joy this morning because Jesus came into this world? Is it a reason for shouting to you that Jesus has come into the world? I don't know where your life might be. Maybe you're in poverty. Maybe you're broke and can't pay your bills. I don't know. Maybe your family is in ruins. Maybe because of your sins or the sins of somebody else. Maybe there's a family crisis. Maybe you're on the brink of divorce or children are in rebellion. I don't know where you might be. Maybe you have just lost your job. I don't know. Maybe you're an outcast of society. Maybe there's some social stigma that people have placed upon you. I don't know where you might be. Maybe you recognize that you have sinned and fall short of being what God would have you to be, and you're not living the life that God would have you to live. And so there's no joy. Let me tell you, in Christ there's joy. And it doesn't matter about all those circumstances because the Savior has come. And there is reason for joy, and you can have that joy too. The joy that's in Jesus Christ. But I'm convinced with many, they see the joy that's there. Or they hear it, they hear people talk about it. But they're blind to that joy. Do you feel joy? If you feel no joy because of the coming of Jesus Christ this morning, I have to say I pity you. Because if you don't feel joy because of the coming of Jesus Christ, then you don't feel how lucky that you are, how blessed that you are. You don't feel the terrible weight of sin which is there to send you to eternal ruins, except that a Savior has been born and you've been forgiven through Jesus Christ if you have that faith and trust in Him. There's none so blind as those who will not see. Won't you this morning, if you're out of Christ, see your lost condition? Won't you see your eternal suffering that awaits you? But then won't you see the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and surrender your life to Him? And come to know that joy inexpressible, that joy that transcends all these physical things. Will you not come and receive that joy this morning? If it's not yours already, won't you come? While we stand, while we sit.